The Robin on the Oak Throne by K.A. Lindy. Narrated by Stephanie Namet Parker. To the girls who fell for the crown before the prince. The Robin on the Oak Throne is a tale of monsters, mystery, and romance. However, the story includes elements that may not be suitable for all readers. Combat, violence, sex, drug and alcohol use, sex work, and gang violence are depicted. Abuse, genocide, colonization, infertility, and assault that is physical and sexual in nature are discussed. Readers who may be sensitive to these elements, please take note, practice your magic, and prepare to take the Oak Throne. Part 1. Beltane. Chapter 1. Tromping through wet pastureland in high heels was a crime against humanity, unlike the crime Kyrus was about to commit. She stepped out of the squelchy green grass and onto the ancient, graveled walkway with a sigh of relief. New York City hadn't prepared her for acres of empty farmland on the outskirts of Paris, or otherwise. She lifted her dark eyes to what lay at the end of her trek, the magnificent Versailles Gardens. The greenery was bracketed by twin, towering fountains boasting statues of the gods mounted on gilded horses. A long grass promenade cut between the fountains with bonfires igniting the night and revealing the entrances that led deeper into the wooded grounds. On the top of the hill, in all its splendor, was the Palace of Versailles. Kyrs could only imagine what it looked like at the height of King Louis XIV's reign. Tonight, it was teeming with both humans and monsters for the annual Beltane Festival, a party to which Kyrs hadn't exactly been invited. Not that that had ever stopped her. There were always entrances and exits for a clever little thief, and having multiple exits was thieving rule number one. But for now, she was just a girl blending in with the crowd in a pink satin slip dress with a thigh-high slit, her dark hair piled on the top of her head and her makeup light like spring. No one paid her any mind as she snagged a glass of champagne off a human waiter's tray and navigated the grounds. Kyrs had one mission today: steal a bracelet from the Queen of the Nymphs. Step one, get an invitation into the palace. Well, that was the easy part. She'd already picked her mark as she ascended the stairs to the promenade. A group of female nymphs traipsed around a bonfire in nothing but tiny scraps of dresses, little purses at their hips, and flower crowns. They were almost all shorter than Kyrs, with a kaleidoscope of hair color and wide, slightly unnatural eyes. The few horned male nymphs lounged on the other side of the fire, shirtless in white linen trousers. Kyrs bumped into a nymph with vibrant magenta hair as she passed, sloshing champagne everywhere. "Oh, pardon," Kyrs said by way of apology. The nymph spit rapid French in Kyrs's direction, and while the girl was distracted, Kyrs slipped the crisp card out of her bag. She discreetly moved the invite to her purse, waving her other hand to indicate she didn't understand. The nymph laughed at her lack of comprehension and returned to the festivities. A similar interaction back home could have ended in disaster, but the rest of the world hadn't suffered the way that New York had during the Monster War. Back home, they were 4 years past the war and just coming to the other side of things. Here, when the monsters had stepped into the light, the humans had made deals with them before it devolved so drastically. Tonight, phoenixes controlled the flames of the bonfires that nymphs deftly jumped over, performing their fertility rites. Myrrh lounged in fountains, and shifters jumped in and out of their animal forms at will over the hedges and into the tree line. Humans drank champagne and mingled with vampires and werewolves and an incubus-succubus pair. Laughter rang out. Lips locked. Revelry ensued. All excellent cover for Kyrs's plan. She ditched her champagne flute on a table, thankful it had helped her with thieving rules 3 and 4, distraction and sleight of hand. She palmed the heavy cardstock invitation, gilded